So what I'd like to talk about today is gratitude and the practice of gratitude. So in Zen, we tend to give gratitude to a number of things. So of course, the food we have, but also for inanimate things. So for instance, when we come in, we bow to the cushion, and the cushion is thanking the support for the cushion for the support that it provides our practice. So we actually say thank you to the sitting cushion or the chair for supporting our sitting practice. And then we turn in and also say thank you to the Sangha, the group, for supporting our practice. And so in Tori Zenji's Bodhisattva's vow, it says, among us in our own daily life, who is not reverently grateful for the protections of life, food, drink, and clothing? Though they are inanimate things, they are nonetheless the warm flesh and blood, the merciful incarnations of Buddha. So a few years ago, my husband and I were bushwalking in the Grampians. And it was a walk we'd done before, but it had changed since the last time we did it because of a landslide. It was quite a rainy day and very misty, and we managed to get completely lost. So we'd been lost before, but this was really, really lost. We had no idea where we were. And so we managed to ring the people that we were staying with and let them know that we were wandering around the Grampians lost. And then later we lost reception, so we weren't able to talk to them anymore as well. And we just started walking, and we didn't have much food with us. It was only meant to be a very short walk. We're getting quite wet. It was very difficult terrain to walk on, and we really had no sense of where we were going, because we couldn't really see the mountains to give us any sense of direction. And so we weren't scared that we were going to die, but we did start thinking by the afternoon that perhaps we might have to spend the night out here. And we were pretty wet through by then, and a bit cold and uncomfortable, so it wasn't a very... So the mood started to drop a little bit at this point. And then eventually we were found by some farmers who had been alerted by our friends, and they found us and rescued us. And then we were taken back to our friend's place, and we had a cup of hot tea and some food and a hot shower and change of clothing and the prospect of sleeping in a nice warm bed. And so I could really appreciate that, you know, something that we take for granted that's just always going to be there. If we don't have access to it for even 24 hours, suddenly life looks quite different. So ever since then, when we talk about who is not reverently grateful for the protections of life, food, drink, and clothing, I can really relate to that. And part of Zen practice is being aware of things that we tend to take for granted. So there's a lot of sense of, you know, we have all this stuff around us, all these things that give us support, that offer us protection and nourishment, and we kind of take everything, tend to take it for granted, because we're lost in a little bit of this dream, and we're just kind of going along and not really aware of what is there that actually provides support. So again, when we bow to the group and give acknowledgement to the group, there's also that sense of how important the sense of the group is for our practice. And again, if we come to a group regularly for years, we can take that for a little bit for granted as well, and not really appreciate just how much is involved in having the group there and how important that actually is to our practice. So we have that practice of bowing to the group. Another Zen saying that we use for the meal sutras is 72 labors have brought us this food. We should know how it comes to us. And I really love that very specific 72 labors. Not saying many labors or a few people have been a little bit involved here, but this idea of 72 labors. So if you look at a sultana, so I've brought along a little sultana. So that's just a really tiny little thing. And we don't tend to pay much attention to it when we eat it. We usually grab a handful, or it's in the muesli or something, and we don't even think about what's actually involved in the sultana. But if you think about the sultana, first of all, there's all the labor of people who were engaged in farming and cultivating the crop and getting it so it's, you know, more productive, and then learning how to look after the soil. So there's all of that. And then there's the actual work of the farmers who looked after this sultana and prepared the soil and looked after it and protected it, and then eventually picked it. And then someone else had to dry it. It had to be dried. And then it became this wrinkly thing rather than the plump grape they had the skin there and inside, but everything is still in there. The sunshine is still in there and the soil is still in there and the work of the farmer. And then someone packaged it and then someone sold it and then someone bought it and then eventually someone can eat it. But there's a lot of things involved around us for us to be able to eat one simple sultana, let alone all the other food that we eat. So it's very nice in Zen that we actually acknowledge that, that all this work and effort that's gone generations before and people that we've never met, and then the people, maybe the cooks and that, that have prepared the food. So in Zen, the gratitude is sort of a part of the practice, but it's not so much saying, oh, you should be grateful because other people are much worse off, that sort of more slightly guilty feeling. But it's more moving from the ego-centered self to a more life-centered way. So that's kind of the idea with practicing gratitude in Zen. So we become less involved with our own small ego self and become more aware of what's actually happening all around us and what is there supporting us. And years ago, I came across a quote, which I really enjoyed. And that said, what is truly a part of our spiritual life is that which brings us alive. If gardening brings us alive, that is part of our path. If it is music, if it is conversation, we must follow what brings us alive. So I thought it was a beautiful way to think about spiritual lives. That's really what animates us, what really makes us feel really present and alive. And so the quote is by someone called Brothers David Stendel-Rust. And he's a Benedictine monk. He was originally born in Vienna and then has lived in America for a long time. He's now into his 90s. And his practice is basically gratitude. So he's got a whole website around gratitude practices called gratitude.org. And so he's a Benedictine monk. And he's been very, one of the monks that's been very involved in the conversation between, you know, Christian and particularly Catholicism and Buddhism. So he was, along with Thomas Merton, one of the people who was very involved in the dialogue between Christianity and Buddhism. And he actually had quite a lot to do with Robert Aitken. So Robert Aitken, as most of you know, is the founder of the Diamond Sangha and was also one of Jeff's teacher for a long time. And so together they've written this book, The Ground We Share, Everyday Practice, Buddhist and Christian. And it's basically a dialogue between them two. So they were in a hut in Hawaii somewhere for like a week. And they basically had conversations together about their traditions and their practices and the things to share, but also the differences between, you know, how a Christian monastic might approach something and how a Buddhist teacher might approach something. So that's definitely a worthwhile book to get. And I found his approach, this is Brother David, to gratitude practice very similar to Zen. So I thought they had a lot in common. And so I'll just sort of take you through one of his ways that he looks at cultivating gratitude. So he's got this three-step approach. So step one, he says, wake up to surprises. And he basically encourages us to keep asking, isn't this surprising? Yes, it is. So that's the answer. So we sort of ask ourselves, isn't this amazing that this is happening? Or isn't that surprising that this is going on? Rather than just being caught in this sort of half-dreamy, taking things for granted, just going through, not really noticing. As soon as we stop and notice, it's like, oh, isn't that amazing? So children, of course, can often do that for us. They point something out and we go, oh, yeah, that is quite amazing. So that encourages us to, and he says surprise sort of gives us a jolt, sort of jolts us out of the everyday, just caught in a rut idea, and to stop taking everything for granted. So we have more sense of appreciation. Even something simple like swallowing. So, you know, this sultana, there's growing it, but there's also then being able to chew it and to swallow it safely. And that's something we take for granted. But I used to work with people with very severe acquired brain injury, and quite a few of them could no longer swallow. So they had peg feet instead. So they had a tube to the stomach instead. Because that very simple, what we think is very simple thing of just swallowing something safely, it's actually not simple at all. There's a lot that has to come together in the throat and the saliva and the chewing and the, you know, to be able to do it safely. So, but if you're not, you know, if you don't have, know someone in that position or don't have an injury, it's something we just take for granted. So, yeah, the idea is not taking everything for granted. And then, of course, he says some surprises we don't like, you know. So things happen that we don't like, unpleasant surprise. So then he says we can see them as an opportunity. So step two is be aware of opportunities. And that's a very Zen approach as well. So it's really asking ourselves, what is my opportunity here? When something happens, instead of saying, oh, this is good or great or awful or whatever, it's just actually stopping and saying, what is my opportunity here for practice? And so in Zen, everything becomes grist for the practice mill. That's something that we can use in our practice. And the opportunity that a given moment offers us is the opportunity also to enjoy. So to enjoy the sounds that we have. So today we had meditation, we could enjoy the sounds, the smells and the taste, textures and colors. And then he says, and I really like this way, even deeper still, we can deeper joy, friendliness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and honesty. All those gifts that soften the soil of our heart like warm spring rain. So it's really that pausing and just allowing ourselves to notice the opportunity for being nourished like warm spring rain. And then his step three is to respond alertly. So being really spontaneous and alert in our response. And again, that's very similar to Zen, where you're really just very present. You're not sort of drifting along in some dream state or some anxious sort of mind pattern. It's just really being present to whatever is right there and being very alert in the response. And so he sort of come up with a very simple way to remember these steps, which is basically what you teach a child when you cross the road, is to stop, look, and go. So the stop is noticing things, and then did I allow myself to be surprised by them? And then once I was stopped, did I look for the opportunities? Did I have a look around and see what opportunities are there? Or was I just caught in my, you know, nowadays I have warning signs for people because they're really caught up in their phone and they're not looking at in cars anymore. So that's kind of an analogy of how we often live, that we're very caught up in our thoughts and we're actually not looking around to notice the opportunities that are there. And then if you notice the opportunity, did we actually pay it attention? Did we actually use that opportunity in a way that was very embodied and present? Or did we let it kind of slip by and not really give it a full attention? And he says it's a very simple practice, but like any simplicity, there's a sort of a childish way of doing it. But there's also a more mature way of doing it. And of course, we aim to be more mature in our practice, but that can actually take a long time to really have that very mature, simplistic, simple approach to just being with things as they come along. And Zen, in a way, sort of radical simplicity. It's really just saying there's nothing more here and there's nothing less here. So you're not avoiding, you're not adding anything. It's just exactly what it is. But of course, that is a difficult way to live our life. And that's really links in with the second noble truth, which is say that, you know, greed, hatred and ignorance are the things that hold us back from really being present in our life. So I'd like to finish with a quote by him, which I found really, a really nice way of putting things. So he says, when I am grateful, I am neither rushing nor slouching through my day. I'm dancing. What is true in dance class is true here too. Only when you forget to think of your steps do you truly dance.